Jerry Bader Show 921. There was a major, major conservative victory in court yesterday in Wisconsin. Federal Judge Rudolph Randa has halted a John Doe probe and basically said, look, it's not just the governor's race. Where's the exact wording of this? Randa made it clear. He revealed investigators also were probing candidates for state Senate and that all or nearly all right-of-center groups and individuals in Wisconsin who engaged in issue advocacy from 2010 to present are targets of the investigation. Yet he is not, as far as we know, investigating any liberal individuals or groups. Now, what did Randa rule? This is heady legal stuff. It's above my pay grade. But Rick Esenberg, writing today at Right Wisconsin, tries to go through this. And I'm going to read this and stick with it a little bit because it does, you really have to hang with this a little bit. The result has been to sideline their political opponents during an election year. In other words, this John Doe probe froze conservative groups because with this cloud over them, they couldn't proceed. On the second level, a more detailed analysis of the legal issues involved. Yesterday's decision addressed only the most obvious of a series of legal problems with this ill-conceived investigation. To understand, you need to appreciate one basic limitation and two long-standing distinctions in the constitutional treatment of campaign finance regulation. Again, try to follow along, and I'll walk through this with you. The limitation is that, given the First Amendment interests at stake, there is only one justification for the government to ever restrict contributions or expenditures for political advocacy. That is, to prevent quid pro quo corruption, i.e., the risk that giving or spending of money will be done in exchange for political favors. In other words, you give me money and I will do this for you. Okay, that's what really has to be present. No other policy objective, not leveling the playing field or keeping money out of politics, can justify restricting exercise of these expressive and associated rights. This brings us to the distinctions. The U.S. Supreme Court has long distinguished between contributions and expenditures. Contributions, regarded as more likely to raise concerns about quid pro quo corruption, are considered to be more indirect forms of political expression. In contrast, expenditures by someone other than a candidate are seen as unlikely to rise to the threat of corruption. More fundamentally, it is difficult to imagine any meaningful protection of speech that did not recognize the right to speak out about issues and candidates at election time. Expenditures can almost never be restricted. Now, let me walk through this again. What he's saying is contributions directly to a candidate are what raise eyebrows about corruption, not expenditures, third-party expenditures on issue advocacy. Do you see the distinction? You're not giving money to a candidate, and Esenberg's argument is quid pro quo is really the only type of corruption that the law allows to be investigated here. We gave this X amount of money to a candidate, so he or she would promise, if elected, they'll do something for us, or if re-elected. But what he's arguing is it's very unlikely to see corruption coming from spending independent of the candidate or its campaign versus giving money to the candidate or campaign. expenditures can almost never be restricted. The other relevant distinction is between express and issue advocacy. The former is a call to elect or defeat a candidate, while the latter is a communication about an issue, even if it mentions a candidate and occurs during election season. Issue advocacy is also seen as less likely to give rise to the threat of corruption and is too core, and it too is core political speech. A democracy that did not permit people to speak on issues of the day during elections would be very different from the one we have. You may not agree with these points, but they are the law. Neither the Doe prosecutors nor Judge Randa are free to ignore them. Then, he says, let's apply them to this case. The putative targets of the Doe investigation, Wisconsin Club for Growth, and certain related individuals engaged in expenditures comprising issue advocacy. In other words, their activities were entitled to the most stringent constitutional protection. The prosecution's theory has been that the club coordinated with Scott Walker's gubernatorial campaign. This, they say, made these otherwise independent organizations a subcommittee of the Walker campaign, obligated to report its speech as an in-kind contribution to Walker. Because these expenditures would far exceed the limit of contributions, the argument continues, they were illegal. This is where the investigation runs into a host of legal problems, only two of which were addressed by yesterday's decision. First, it is questionable that Wisconsin law regulating campaign contribution applies to issue advocacy. In fact, the GAB, Government Accountability Board, while not conceding the law does not cover issue advocacy, will not apply it to communications other than express calls to elect or defeat a candidate. The Doe prosecutors seek to avoid this problem by arguing that our campaign finance law does apply to issue advocacy that is coordinated with a candidate. But state statutes do not expressly say so. Constitutional due process requires more. Put simply, if the state wants to put someone in jail for doing something, it must make clear that something is a crime. All right, I want to double back on that. I know I said it's heady stuff, but I want you to understand what was really going on here and why I am confident that this being stopped in its tracks will stand on appeal. It's 9:29.
The Jerry Vayner Show is sponsored in part by American Metal Roofs of